Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
This week, you can join me in Genesis chapter 39, the same chapter we were in last week. This week, we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 39 and Genesis chapter 40 and 41. We're going to be looking at three chapters here as we continue to look at the life of a man named Joseph from the book of Genesis. Joseph's story is one that even as we've walked through just the first couple of weeks of this story, it's full of lots of twists and turns. It's full of what seems like really good moments and then what seem like really challenging moments, really high moments and really low moments. And for the first 2 weeks of our series, both of our times together have ended with Joseph in really dark spots, in really dark moments. As a side note, next Sunday, we're actually not going to be in our Joseph series next week. This week, for those who aren't aware, we are having a unit pastors retreat here at our church. And so we're going to have pastors and church leaders from across our unit. That's how our denomination is divided up in Canada in what we call units. And so our unit stretches from Cranbrook in BC up through Calgary and Airdrie and Edmonton, all the way up to Whitehorse in the Yukon. And so it's quite a large geographical area. And so we're going to have pastors from all these different churches gathering together here this week. And next week, next Sunday, we're going to be joined by my boss, my supervisor, my unit supervisor. Her name is Carolyn Kroll, and she's going to be sharing with us next week. And Carolyn is a tremendous gift to our unit, and she's been a tremendous gift to me. For those who don't know, and I'll talk more about this next week, but Carolyn was my youth pastor. And her husband, Ed, were my youth pastors in this church when I was a teenager. And so we're going to have the opportunity to hear from Carolyn next week. But for the first 2 weeks of our story so far, it's ended with Joseph in really bad places. Last week, Joseph was put in an unwinnable situation for my Star Trek fans, his own Kobashi Maru, where he cannot win. And when he was put in a position where he could not win, Joseph did what he could not do. He couldn't win and he didn't win. Joseph does everything right. In fact, as we walked through this story last week, the takeaway was we need to do what Joseph did. When we look at how Joseph dealt with temptation, when we looked at how Joseph did these situations, when we look at what Joseph did, our takeaway was, so you should do what Joseph did. Do the same thing. Here's the catch. It worked out really bad for Joseph. It was the right thing to do. He did everything right, every step along the way. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. The only problem, it worked out horribly. Joseph did everything right, and everything still fell apart. Our story ends with Joseph behind bars after being accused and convicted of a crime he did not commit. And so that's where our story picks up today, is Joseph is in a prison cell. But there's something that I just want to highlight for you and draw to your attention in terms of Bible study and reading your Bible. Hopefully, all of us as followers of Jesus are investing time in God's Word, whether it's every day or hopefully it's every day, but it's not really every day, and maybe it's every week, but we're investing time in the Word of God. And there's something that I just want to draw your attention to as a way to help us do that. Something to be aware of as you're reading through your Bible, as you're spending time in the Word of God, is to look out for repeated words and phrases. that as you're reading through your Bible, and maybe you're reading through a chapter of the Bible a day or a chunk of the Bible a day, and as you're reading through, it's important to be aware, especially if you're reading in the same book or in books by the same author, to look for repeated words and phrases. Because these are important things. This is like God saying, I really want to make sure you get this. Last week for our time together, when we opened our service with scripture reading, we read from a psalm, and every other line in the song was, his steadfast love endures forever. And as we read through 3, 4, 5, 6 verses, you begin come to understand, hey, I think he wants us to understand his steadfast love endures forever. And so when we look and we find these moments where there's these repeated words and phrases, it's like God speaking a little louder and saying, I want you to know this, but I really, really want you to know this. And so last week, we began our story where Joseph is sold into slavery. We began by looking at the start of Genesis 39, and we read that even though Joseph was in what I'm sure he believed at the time was the absolute lowest part in his life, as he was being carried away as a slave, we read this. We read, but the Lord was with Joseph. And we talked about how for us, this is a promise that even when we think we're at the lowest points in our lives, that even when we think that it can't get any worse than this, the promise that we discover is that it's not because of God's absence. It's not because God's abandoned us. It's not God's absence we find, but what was true for Joseph is true for us. What's true for Joseph is true for you. That even in the moments where it seems like all hope is lost, even in the moments where you look around and you say, this is it. This is the worst moment in my life. What was true for Joseph is true for you. God was still with him. And so here we are again. Last week we journeyed from this moment where Joseph was at his lowest, but God was still with him. And we see God build him up. And we see light and life begin to return to Joseph. And his life goes from the worst moment and things seem to be getting better until it all comes crashing down again. And this time, it's not because he was an arrogant jerk. See, the first time it all fell apart because he was a jerk. He did everything wrong. The second time it all falls apart because he does everything right. And how many of us have had those kind of moments in our lives? Where we look at our lives, where we look at what's going on, where we look at everything and we say, God, I'm trying to do everything right. God, I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to do. I know the basics. I know what it means to be a Christian. And God, I'm trying. And so why am I failing? God, I'm trying. So why are things getting worse? God, I'm trying. Why does it feel like you're not honoring my attempt? God, I'm trying. How come it's worse? God, why did everything go so wrong? But we come to verse 20 of Genesis 39, the conclusion of our story from last week. We read this. We read, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, I want to look for the repeated phrases. The Lord was with him. When Joseph was being sold into slavery and being sent to Egypt, we read, the Lord was still with him. And when Joseph then has everything fall apart again and he ends up back in even a worse place than he was before, we read again, a reminder, repeated phrase, the Lord was with him. Even though, or friends, let's pay attention to the themes that are repeated. If you were here last week, God wanted to stress this in your life. That maybe you left last week with hope. Okay, even if this is a hard moment, I can go leaving knowing God is still with me. And then this week was even suckier than last week. And you're like, God, I'm trying. Where are you? God wanted you to come back this week and hear again, even though it's worse, God's still with you. And friends, if you weren't here last week, God didn't want you to miss out on that message as well. God says, tell them again, I'm still with them. Make sure they know that. If they didn't come to church last week, they still need to know I'm with them. And so friends, God is with you. Where you find yourself in life today, if you are sitting pretty on the top of your mountaintop in your life and you are saying, things could not be better than they are right now, God is with you. And if your life is the complete antithesis of that, and every way you look around and you just say, this is a mess, things are not the way they're supposed to be, where's God in all of this? God wants you to know he's right there with you. We want to look for these repeated phrases because it's God reminding us a time and again that even when life is at its worst, I'm still there for you. Right now in your life, no matter how it's going, God is with you. But we read these verses and it says, but while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. And he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Joseph is serving his time in prison. And it seems like as best as life can be in prison, it's okay. But we don't want to make what Joseph was going through seem light or trivial. This was not easy. See, we can know where this story is going. If you're familiar with the story of Joseph, you may think to yourself, like, Joseph, just keep hanging on, buddy. It's about to get better. Just hold on. Just wait. By the end of today's sermon, everything's going to be different. But Joseph hasn't read Genesis. Joseph hasn't read the story of Joseph. And for Joseph, he's living his life in prison for a time he didn't commit. Every time the prison door opened, he didn't know if it was someone there to give him food. He didn't know if there was someone there to check to see if he was still alive, or he didn't know if it was someone there to end his life. That he is a slave in prison. He's about as low on the societal order of who's important as you can get. Slaves have no rights. Never mind a slave who's in prison. And so he lives every day unsure of what that day's going to bring. So Joseph has to learn how to trust God while he's living in the dark. While he has no earthly idea what it is that God is doing, and yet somehow I've got to trust God. I have no idea how God could possibly get me from here to where I'm supposed to be. Somehow I've got to trust God. That things are at the bottom of the barrel. I can't imagine being able to get any lower than this. And somehow I have to trust God. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. What is God doing while Joseph is stuck in prison? While he's sitting in prison for years and years and years. And we know Joseph was in prison for a long time. Genesis chapter 40 begins like this. Some time later. We don't know how long that is. Genesis 41 begins like when 2 full years had passed. So we know that Joseph was in prison for some time plus 2 years. Joseph was in prison for a long time. And what we discover is that we're not told a lot about what happens in Joseph's life while he's in prison. There's these long gaps of time where we're not given, and Joseph had this adventure, or Joseph did this amazing thing, or this thing happened in his life, because presumably nothing happened. I've never been to prison. So I can't speak with any authority on this subject, but what I can assume is that at the end of the day, when you are in prison, You don't go back to your cell and your cell friend, your prison mate, whatever it's called. You don't come back and you don't say to each other, so what did you do today? What did you do? How was your day? What did you do? You know, you come home from work and maybe your wife or somebody or your husband is there. How was your day today? What did you do today? How did your day go? I imagine in prison, you don't ask each other that. What did you do today? I did nothing. Well, what did you do? Me too. We sat and did nothing. And for Joseph, he's spending years and years doing nothing. His life is wasting away. He's doing nothing. But we can see something that is happening in Joseph, even as his life may be wasting away, doing nothing. There's something happening inside of Joseph. In all this waiting, God is working on Joseph. He wasn't just with him, but he was working on him. And we can see this in the one story we have recorded. In the years and years of time spent in prison, we have one story recorded about Joseph. But we can see God at work in his life in this story. In Genesis chapter 40, verse 1, we read this. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. So Pharaoh is the position, that's the title. He's the biggest, most important person in the world. And somehow, some way, his cupbearer and baker have offended him to the point where Pharaoh sends them off to jail. And we read, Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. Then if we jump down to verse 6, we see Joseph interact with these two. We read this where it says, when Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, why do you look so sad today? Now think back to this 17-year-old Joseph we talked about a couple weeks ago. He was arrogant. He only cared about himself. He made no attempt to have any kind of empathy. He made no attempt to have any kind of care for his brothers. And in fact, he was intentionally agitating. He was intentionally hurtful, that he would make sure that when he was given the littlest amount of authority and the littlest amount of position, he would throw on his colorful coat just to be able to remind his brothers, hey, Dad loves me more than you. Joseph was not someone who cared about other people. And yet, we see Joseph caring about these two guys. What's the matter? Something seems wrong. 17-year-old Joseph was the one who was what was wrong. And now we have Joseph coming and saying, what's going on? Through all that Joseph has gone through, it seems like God is making Joseph into a different person. Hard times seem to be developing a soft heart in Joseph. And God knows that Joseph needs to be a different person for what God has next for Joseph. That God knows where Joseph's life is going. And so he knows that Joseph, that 17-year-old arrogant jerk, can't be who I put in where I've got him next. See, God's work in our lives, it's organic. It's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. It has to grow and develop. It's not a download. It's not a software patch where something is broken and then after a couple clicks, it's fixed. It takes time. It takes seasons to grow and it takes seasons to cultivate. So friends, I want to stress this to us this morning. This is our point of why we're looking at this morning. This is what I want you to take away from your time together this morning. Don't miss the season you're in. Don't miss the season you're in. Embrace it as a time of growth and change. And we see Joseph as he's in prison, struggling, living every day in fear, wasting away, but God is still working in him and he's changing him. And so back to our story, verse 8, we read this. They come to Joseph and say, we had dreams. And they say, we both had dreams, they answered, but there's no one there to interpret them. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dream. When Joseph says interpretations belong to God, Joseph is making a strong and theologically accurate statement. What Joseph is saying is theologically accurately true. He's got good doctrine. He's got a good understanding of what is true with God. But then Joseph takes it one step further. He gives good doctrine. He gives good theology. But then he says, so tell me your dreams. See, what we see God developing in Joseph is we see God developing courage in Joseph. Joseph has correct theology. He knows what's right. But growing inside of him is the courage to act on it. It's one thing to believe that God can interpret a dream. It's one thing to believe that God can heal the sick. It's one thing to believe that God knows the future. It's one thing to believe that God will provide. It's one thing to have correct theology surrounding these things. But it's another thing to say, can I pray for your healing? It's another thing to say, I think God's given me a word for you. It's another thing to trust the provision of God when we don't see the provision of God yet. It's one thing to say interpretations belong to the Lord. It's another thing to say, so tell me your dream. See, sometimes we can think to ourselves, if only something was different. If only I was smarter. If only I knew more about the Bible. If only I knew more about God. If only I was just smarter in all the things that I needed to be smarter in, then God could use me. We can think to ourselves, if only I was richer. If only I had more. Do you know what I would do for God if I had $1 billion? God, if I had more money, God, the things I would do. God, if only I was richer. We can think to ourselves, if only things were different. If only this was different, or if only all of these things were different, then imagine the difference for God I could make. If only I wasn't stuck in a prison cell. Imagine the difference I could make for God. Imagine the difference I could make if I wasn't stuck here in jail. But we need to stop staring out the window of life and thinking of all the things we might do if something was different. And instead, like Joseph, we need to think and believe and trust that God wants to use me in my life right now. Right here, right now in my life, I can step out in faith. God could sure use me if I wasn't in prison, but I am. So how is God going to use me now? Also, God was birthing in Joseph courage, because if you were here with us from the beginning of this series, you would know that dreams were what got Joseph here in the first place. Teenage Joseph had this dream where he was going to be in power. Power over his brothers, power over his parents, that he believed God had told him, you are the most important person in your family. And teenage Joseph, being the arrogant guy that he was, went and told his brothers, guys, God told me I'm more important than you. Isn't that great? And after a lifetime of emotional abuse from their father, his brothers have enough. And they say, this is our breaking point. And then all of this happens. And now here he was in prison while his family remained back home together. Joseph really seemed to get that one wrong. At this moment in his life, it sure seems like his interpretation of the dreams that God had placed in his life couldn't be further from the truth. And not only does he get it wrong, but in his getting it wrong and telling his brothers about this dream and how important it was, him getting it wrong seemingly had incredibly dire consequences. That he could trace all of the problems in his life back to the moment where he might feel like, I got this wrong. So it would have been very easy for Joseph when these two guys come and say, we had a dream and we don't know what it means. For Joseph to say, I am the wrong guy. You don't want to know what I think. I can't do this. I've tried to do this and it didn't work. I got this same thing more wrong than you could ever imagine. Courage for Joseph meant stepping out in faith and trusting that God would use him. But courage also meant not writing off the things of God because he had a bad experience with it in the past. That Joseph could have said, I don't do dreams anymore. I don't believe. You have no idea the bad experience I've had with dream interpretation. We're not doing this anymore. But instead, Joseph, in light of even where he found himself, he had the right theology and the right faith and said, interpretation of dreams belong to God. I can hear from God. What's your dream? See, friends, don't miss out on the season you're in. Don't miss out on what God wants to do in your life because maybe you've had a bad experience before. Don't miss out on what God wants to do in your life because maybe you've gotten it wrong before. But let's press in whatever season we're in to discover all that God wants to do. Embrace it as a time of growth and change. And so Joseph interprets the dreams for these two fellas. And then years pass with nothing happening. In fact, so much time passes that the cupbearer and the baker, their sentences come to an end. They're released from prison. And they go back to their lives. Meanwhile, Joseph continues to rot away in prison. And in fact, so much time passes that the cupbearer and the baker forget about Joseph. That they forget about this miraculous work that God did in their lives. This guy they met in prison who could interpret dreams from the Lord. This incredible miracle fades into the background of their lives. And they forget about him. Until one day, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, the most important man in the world, has a dream. And no one is able to help him understand it. Until one day, these guys remember Joseph. They're like, we had this one time. There was this guy we met in prison, and he could interpret dreams. Let's go find out if he's still alive. And so they go, and Joseph, this prisoner, who was able to help a couple guys who worked for Pharaoh interpret their dreams years ago, suddenly stands before Pharaoh, the most important, most powerful man in the world, and he's brought in to help. We read this in Genesis chapter 41, verses 15 and 16. It says, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it, but I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Word has reached me of your incredible abilities. And listen to what Joseph says. He says, I cannot do it. Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he deserves. This is Joseph's big moment to shine. He's been rotting away in prison for years at this point. And now he has a chance to impress the most powerful man in the world. So what does he say? I can't do it. This arrogant teenaged boy who believed the world revolved around him sure seems to have changed. Sure seems to have had a change in his heart. And as Pharaoh looks to Joseph, Joseph, instead of saying, look at how important I am, even Pharaoh comes to me. Joseph, when Pharaoh looks to him, Joseph points him to God. And Pharaoh goes on to share his dream with Joseph and gives Pharaoh the incorrect interpretation. Pharaoh shares his dream and Joseph goes and prays, God, what does it mean? And God shows it to him. And Joseph goes back to Pharaoh and says, this is what your dream means. And Pharaoh is so impressed with Joseph that his life takes the biggest detour yet. If we jump down to verse 41, we read this. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. Friends, don't miss the season you're in. Joseph goes from a locked up slave with no rights to the prime minister of Egypt, to the second most powerful man in the world, all as God works through his life. Friends, don't miss the season you're in. And so the question for us today, the question for you today, do you find yourself stuck in prison? Do you find yourself at a point in your life where you feel stuck? Where you feel like no matter what I do, I can't get out of here? It may seem more subtle and more figurative than Joseph's. You're not in prison actually right now. And if you're watching us online from prison, welcome. This can be literal for you. But it may be more figurative. Perhaps it's a job you hate. Perhaps it's an awful boss. Or a marriage or a family that isn't what you thought it was supposed to be. Or maybe it's financial problems. Or maybe it's a long-term health issue. These can feel like prisons. They can make us feel stuck. They can make us feel like, I just want my life to be different. I don't want it to be what it is now. And it can be easy to lose heart and hope after months or years or decades of frustration. Where is God in all of this? God, I am trying to do the right thing. God, why is this so hard? God, I'm doing everything I know to do, and yet it keeps getting worse. I'm stuck in prison and I cannot get out. God, don't you love me? And no doubt, thoughts just like that, I'm sure, went through Joseph's heart and mind time and again as he sat in prison, stuck and waiting. But as Joseph sat out his 20s in a dark, confined prison cell, we end up seeing that God was always with him, but we also end up seeing that God was always working on him. God used Joseph's time in prison. God was using the dark times to cultivate both the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit in Joseph's life. The life that Joseph was going to lead was going to depend on his transformation in these lost years. So don't miss out on the season you're in. Embrace it as a time of growth and change, because it may be more crucial for God's plan in your life than you could ever have imagined. Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you now, and we thank you for the places that we find ourselves in. God, for those who are thankful for where they find themselves this morning. God, we're thankful for where they find themselves. And God, for those in their life who want to be anywhere else than where they are right now, where their life feels stuck, where their life feels like a prison, where it feels like they just cannot move forward in life. God, we thank you for that too. Because God, we don't thank you for the places we are in life. But God, we thank you for your presence in our lives. God, that when Joseph was at his lowest, God, we read that you were with him. And then 18 verses later, when Joseph is even at a lower place, God, we read that you were with him. And so, God, I thank you that that is so true for each one of us this morning. That, God, wherever we find ourselves today, God, that you are with us. And so, God, I pray for those here this morning who have struggled in their relationship with you, who have struggled in their walk with you, who have struggled in what it means to be a follower of you, who have struggled to find your goodness in their life, who have struggled to find you in their situation. God, I thank you, and I praise you, and I pray that you would show yourself good on their behalf. God, would they see the goodness of God? God, we prayed earlier that we would taste and see that the Lord is good. God, I pray and I thank you that even as we go through difficult times, God, we thank you for your presence. And God, we thank you for your work in us. God, may we not turn a blind eye to what it is that you might be wanting to do in us. But God, even as times are difficult and times are hard, may our heart remain open to you and your work in our lives. God, we thank you that no matter where we find ourselves today, you promised us that you would never leave us and that you would never forsake us. And God, I thank you that that is true today on October 20th, and it'll be true tomorrow and the day after and the day after and the year after and the decade after. God, that wherever our life would take us, through the ups and the downs and the good and the bad, that you would never leave us and you would never forsake us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know my heart, you know
my scars and everything. Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go. And all that I could ever need today, I have found within the promise of your grace. It's supernatural, but tangible and real, that you would walk with me and feel the things I feel. It's unexplainable that you would choose the cross just for a chance that I would come to know your love. Oh, yesterday I saw your favor. Oh, tomorrow I'll believe.
I have found within the promise of your grace.